You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Our segment, Off the Glass, brought to you by your Coldwell Banker and real estate professional, Chris Lehman, with over 20-plus years working in HVAC design and construction. Trust Chris if you're in the market to buy or sell in Iowa City and the surrounding areas. You can find him online at shootershomes.com. Kevin joining us here. You ever had one of those days, Kevin, where you shot about 10%, you know, and the game plan went out the window right away?
Well, what Mike Tyson say? You ever got game plans that get hit in the mouth once?
Well, we've been pummeled in the mouth and taken several body blows today.
Yeah. Well, I'm going around checking rental properties for picking up branches and trees and screen doors that have been blown off. So it's just one of those days all the way around, Scott.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, we're going to talk some basketball. And, of course, right now, Iowa and Iowa State, they are on their break as far as finals are concerned. And a lot of schools, there aren't as many games this week. It's kind of, it's just a little bit of a down week as far as college basketball is concerned. But first thing you got to do is you got to make sure everybody takes care of their academics and their classwork and gets ready to go as far as the post-holiday edition of the season is concerned, right?
Well, also, Scott, we're seeing some cancellations. Ohio State against Kentucky was supposed to be in Vegas Saturday. That game was just canceled because I have Tennessee Martin at Ohio State on Tuesday, so we're kind of waiting to see if that game's a go or not. I've got, you know, flight plans on Monday afternoon. So not only dealing with academics, we're seeing, you know, we got through football season without cancellations, but we're seeing a number of basketball games be canceled or postponed.
Yeah, that part of the CBS Sports Classic and also involves UCLA and North Carolina. And UCLA had to cancel last night, Kevin.
Yeah, I think Nick Cronin had tested positive, or else he was in protocol. So it's and I got an email from my bosses at ESPN basically saying, you know, you've got to get documentation of your booster shots soon. So I think we're starting to see a spike come back as the basketball season gets here. And it's a bad timing, right before conference is about to tip off for most of these schools. Of course, the Big Ten started earlier, but, you know, Big 12 is going to start January 1st with a big game. It's going to be Baylor, who's number one right now. It's going to be at Ames at Hilton Coliseum on January 1st.
Yeah, that is true. And, well, how about that? I mean, not to talk too much about, obviously, COVID's been around for 18 months, 19 months, 20 months, whatever the case may be. Nothing new. The last thing you want to do is have to shut things down, and the second to last thing you want to do is have empty arenas again. That's what I think college basketball is trying to avoid. Yes, it stinks to not have an Ohio State-Kentucky game, but conference play means more. We know that. Get everybody ready to go and get them healthy by that point. I think that's what a lot of college basketball teams are kind of going for right now. Do you agree?
Yeah. Also, Scott, look at it a little bit deeper. At Northern Iowa, we had to deal with Austin Fife, who had COVID, I believe, in June or July, and he still has some complications with his lungs. He has not played the last two games for the Panthers because of that. He just can't get his stamina and has some issues, you know, with his lungs. So there's some of these players have had some long-ranging complications, Austin Fife being one. So certainly our thoughts and prayers are with him for a fast recovery.
Hey, Kevin, you being with ESPN and calling a lot of games, curious if you are actually at games right now, because some broadcasters are not on site, and that's got to be tough.
Well, there's a lot of criticism on the Iowa-Iowa State game because those broadcasters, Fran Franchella and his partner, were doing it from their home studio. So I'm not at that echelon where they sent me a home studio kit. I did do some games a year ago, Mark, for Flow Sports, which is a streaming network. Mohican Sun, it kicked off around Thanksgiving. So I did like six games from my basement there. And then at the end of the season, CBI tournament, which was held in Daytona Beach. I did that also from my basement. And it's difficult because my play-by-play partner from Mohican Sun, he was in Kansas. And then when I did the at the end of the season, that guy was in North Carolina. So you're not sitting next to a guy. It's hard not to talk on one another. So you've got to really pause and let the game breathe more. Now, the game I did at Valpo at Drake, that was what we called a Remy. So my producers were in Bristol. And the replays were difficult because they are about a second-and-a-half delay from what I'm seeing on my screen. So I have to pause and let that game breathe and be kind of more general in the replays because I'm not seeing them at the same speed that the viewer is. You're right, though. They're difficult to do.
Yeah, and that's why I didn't bang on Fran Fraschilla and his partner. I banged on ESPN. I didn't think it was the right move for a game of that significance. But you know, those guys are doing their best. And, I mean, you know, I know, being broadcasters and doing play-by-play, it's almost – I mean, my hat's off to those guys and you for trying to do that, because I can't even fathom what it would be like.
Well, one of the things, Scott, you know this, you're trying to bring the full picture to your viewers. A lot of it has to do with players on the bench, facial expressions, body language, coaches' body language, how he's interacting with his players, officials and players interacting. You can't get that when you're sitting in your house doing it. It's hard because you're not seeing that whole picture. And that's a big part of what you're seeing in the game, you know, the reactions, the emotions of the game from players and coaches. And, of course, fans in the stadium make a huge difference in that, too. I said this to you guys last year. The officials, they told me this. They had it easy last year because coaches were not playing up to the fans when there was a bad call because there was no fans in the place. So there's less arguments or issues with coaches last year without fans. Because sometimes a coach feels, hey, I got to earn my money and get on this official because the fan base is on the official. That didn't happen last year. I had a number of officials tell me it was easier for them to do a game because of that.
Kevin, Iowa, Utah State, Saturday night in South Dakota. What do you expect?
I expect danger. This is one of those danger ones. Utah State, an excellent team from the Mountain West in the NCAA tournament last year. They got a new coach, and you'll remember this guy because he had Maryland, Baltimore County. Ryan Odom, he had the upset over Virginia in 2018. So he is the new coach at Utah State. They got a guy that's averaging a double-double, guys. And we know rebounding has been an issue for the Hawkeyes. They're 6'10", the front line, and also 6'7", Justin Bean, averaging almost 12 rebounds a game and 21 points. And both those bigs shoot threes. So it's going to stretch out this Iowa defense.
Yeah, Utah State, very tough team. Predicted probably about third or fourth as far as the Mountain West is concerned. Right now, Mountain West, the big story out of there is Colorado State. They're still undefeated. And, of course, Ali Farouk Manesh, one of their assistant coaches for the Rams, doing a really, really good job. We are joining you on 1600 AM night now. So we're on 1600 AM. We're on 106.3 FM. And 102.3 as well. Oh, we're all back. All right, very good. We got it all taken care of right there. So we are back, and we will have the – if you miss any part of the interview we have with Kevin, we'll have this up and ready to go as far as our podcast is concerned coming up a little bit later on. How big a game is this for the Hawkeyes, Kevin? It is non-conference, but Iowa on a losing streak right now, minus 19, minus 18 – last couple games as far as rebound margin is concerned. Fran McCaffrey addressing that on Monday in his news conference with the media. To me, anyway, this is a big ball game for the Hawkeyes.
I think it's huge because you've got a really quality team. And you mentioned Ali for Open Nation, Colorado State. I had them in the Virgin Islands. They won that tournament. And Ali for Open Nation is on the way become a head coach, a very good one. He's, he's just got that demeanor about him. And David Roddy, who was a big star, credited Ali with helping him with his jump shot. But back to Utah State, guys. I mean, this is a dangerous, dangerous team for Iowa to play. Neutral court, probably going to be a large Iowa fan base at the Pentagon. I think it holds less than 4,000, pretty quaint, unique type of atmosphere. And they've had some success there before. They've been there before with Gonzaga and other teams. But you got Southeast Louisiana after that, Western Illinois. So this will be the last real test for the Hawkeyes before they jump back in the Big Ten play with Maryland at home and then at Wisconsin. So I'm with you. They need this game to get momentum and to fix a few of the things that are broken, especially at the rebound end. We know this team handles the ball as well as anyone in the nation. The Hawkeyes don't turn it over, but they're giving up second-chance opportunities to their opponents. And I always like to tell the story. We talk about Iowa's rebounding. I listened to Hubie Brown when I was first getting into high school coaching at a one-man clinic years ago in Chicago. And Hubie's story was when he had a high school team, I think it was in the New Jersey area, they did blockout drills every day, inside pivot, outside pivot, arm bar. He said the first time we went in and played one of those city schools, they just jumped over us and grabbed the rebounds. Hubie's point was, I never taught a blockout drill again, or blockout technique. We did rebound drills. But my point is, and Hubie's point was, some guys just naturally go get it. They go get the ball. It's not a lot about technique. It's about want-to on this getting off the glass. And the Hawkeyes got to get some want-to on this glass.
Mention Colorado State. Colorado State and San Francisco are two mid-majors that are still unbeaten. Not a lot of us see much out of San Francisco. In fact, they have been barely relevant since Bill Russell was there. Do you know anything about that squad?
Well, I had them last year. I mentioned that Mohican Sun that I broadcast from my basement, so I didn't get a chance to see him in person. And I think I had him the game when they beat Virginia, if I remember. We did so many games. We were doing 4 a day that I have a hard time remembering. But I think they beat Virginia in Mohican Sun. The coach was in his second or third year, had some really good guards. I'm not sure if they're still around or not. With COVID, you're not sure who stayed and who left. But they were the team that was supposed to get in an upper echelon with St. Mary's and Gonzaga and BYU in that league. So I'm not sure if they made that move, Mark. If they're undefeated, they must be going in the right direction.
Yeah, they are. Kevin Lehman joining us. It is our Off the Glass segment. It is brought to you by Chris Lehman. And you can find out more about Chris at shootershomes.com. Again, we're back with you on 1600 AM, 102.3 and 106.3 FM here today on a Thursday edition of the show. And you mentioned Iowa State. Cyclones continue to be one of the country's best stories. It was a strange Sunday. Was it just a situation of coming after the Iowa game, big game like that, and having Jackson State come in just ahead of finals, 47-37, that was ugly. That was ugly. Just that situation right there, just a little speed bump game.
Well, I had Nicholls State on Tuesday, and Jackson State, Deion Sanders, how can I mix those two up? I had them on Tuesday. And now they're at Drake tonight, so they're doing the Iowa tour. And their coach, Wayne Brent, told me he had played Indiana, Illinois, Marquette, Iowa State. He goes, we slowed those games down on purpose because I didn't want my players to be demoralized. If we try to run with Iowa State and those other teams I mentioned, we were going to get beat by 30 or 40. So they purposely made that into a real slogfest. And then against Northern Iowa, he's going to open it up, and also against Drake. So it's a pretty good defensive team that Jackson State has. So they can guard you. Drake's got to deal with them tonight, and they have one of the best rebounders in the country, McInnis, who was second in the nation last year with 13 rebounds a game at 6'7". So I think you kind of throw that one out. I think it's what you said, Scott. It's emotional. A little bit of an emotional flat after the Iowa game, and you're playing against a team that was really trying to muddy it up in Jackson State.
We talk a lot about Baylor, Kevin, and of course it comes to goes to Ames on New Year's Day. Who after that? Because almost everybody else has lost. Arizona on the rise.
Yeah, Arizona on the rise. It's such a, Purdue was number one for a week, and almost lost two of them. And I think we said that in the Big Ten. There's no way you're going to get through that league unscathed. I think transfer portal, we see Iowa State get a rebuild so quick that teams can do that now. And also it can work against you if you lose players. So it's just going to be a kind of a wacky college basketball season. And I think we're going to see this in the future. An example, I mentioned the Jackson State coach. He told me five first-team players in the SWAC last year, all of them got eaten up in the transfer portal by bigger schools, came in and took them. Mm. And he told me he's not going to recruit any high school players because he's got to go to the portal to restock. So college basketball, guys, is really changing right in front of our eyes, because you get a guy like Brockington at Iowa State, he's changed that entire demeanor of that program. And they've done it quickly. They've only got two guys at Iowa State that played last year in George Condit and Trey Jackson. Everybody else is new. So you can reload pretty quickly in
True.
This day and age of college basketball. You know, some teams like France, you know, he did a little bit. Some teams aren't going to go into portals, but some are going in full-fledged.
Well, and with that being said, there are people, not only basketball folks, but some high-level football people, Dabo Swinney among them, saying that, you know, enough is enough. Some things have to change as far as the portal is concerned. It's too convenient. It's too easy. I think there is going to be some change. I don't know exactly what it is. That is above my pay grade. But it's going to spiral out of control. And like you talked about, it's going to have an effect as far as high school basketball is concerned, recruiting. I mean, you talked about the Jackson State coach saying, I'm not even going to go look at high school kids anymore. It's just going to go get guys out of the portal. And then on the other side of the equation, you've got teams such as an Iowa State, to use them as an example. They're just going to go out, hey, restock their roster each, you know, 1-2 years. Get guys like that that can make you an instant winner. I mean, there's some issues that need to be taken care of.
Well, guys, here's what's going to change things. The number one football recruit is his name, Turner, who just committed to Jackson State.
Hunter.
Okay, he's supposed to go to Florida State, and then all of a sudden he's at Jackson State with a huge name, image, likeness package from Deion Sanders. That, I think, is going to get some coaches' attention. Don't you? You've got a guy's the number one recruit going to Jackson State. Therefore, you're going to see some of these guys say, hey, we need to put some more restrictions on what's happening here. And I got some great stories on Deion Sanders from Coach Brent, because he said when he got there 10 years ago, Jackson State did not have enough helmets for the entire team to practice.
Mm.
He goes, now they wear a different helmet every game and a different uniform every game. He told me Deion Sanders had brought over $30 million into that community through hotels, ticket sales, restaurants. You know the routine. We see it every Saturday here at Kinnick Stadium. It's just changed the whole structure of that school.
Crazy, crazy. Hey, before we let
make
you...
Make them sit out a year. That'll change things.
Well, you know, Mark, that would go, they'd be right in court on that deal. They'd be lawyering up, and there'd be a stay. And they'd be
awesome. I know.
And I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer, but we'll see. Hey,
I don't either. Today somebody had a great parallel. He said, you know, when you become a doctor, you do a residency where you actually don't get paid, but you're really kind of a doctor. And the reason for college is to prepare you for that next part of your life. It's not to get paid and make money, but that's kind of where we're going with name, image, likeness.
Mm. All tied up together, certainly. Before we let you go, you and I, A.J. Green, 27, I think, the other night in that game that you had. And Panthers just need to get healthy, and probably now with the way the non-con has gone, you and I's got to win this thing or win the Valley Tournament to get in. Probably not so much of Loyola. And is that kind of the way it looks to you going into the Valley regular season?
Yeah, Loyola's put together a really good net. They've won at DePaul. They've won at Vanderbilt. They beat Arizona State. Southern's got a win over Colorado. Those are the big wins. And then UNI's win over St. Bonaventure. But, yeah, right now I would say Loyola is an at-large candidate, and no one else is. Drake was close. You know, the games they've lost, they've had to leave the last couple of minutes. They're without Roman Penn. Southern is good. What's happened at Northern Iowa, Scott and Mark, is, you know, the uncertainty of Austin Fife hasn't played the last two games, so they had to rework their offense. They got points around the rim against Jackson State by cutting guys in there, driving in there. Nate Heisey had a double-double. But A.J. Green came out to start that second half and hit three threes in a row, 9 points in three possessions. They went from seven down to two up in a matter of seconds, and that changed the entire game. But you know, there have been some days where A.J. hasn't shot as well because he's coming back off those hip surgeries.
True.
We'll see. They're going to Marshall this weekend, guys, and Marshall is coached by Dan D'Antoni, Mike's brother, so it's going to be an up-tempo, up-and-down game at Marshall. They're talented. I had their game when Marshall came into McLeod Center last year. It's a pretty good team.
Yeah, they are very good. All right. Hey, Kevin, appreciate it. Thank you, and we'll have more basketball games to talk about next week. Looking forward to that.
All right, guys. Have a good one. Glad you got everything back online.
Very good. Thanks, Kevin. The coach, Kevin Lehman, joins us each Thursday with Off the Glass. It is brought to you by Chris Lehman. You can find out more about him at shootershomes.com. With over 20-plus years working in HVAC design and construction, trust Chris if you're in the market to buy or sell in Iowa City or the surrounding areas.